Hey, everybody out there. You are listening to Local Waves in Conversation on WGXC 90.9 FM and anytime online at WGXC.org. I'm your host, Mike Amari from Chosen Family Presents, and this is a live-taped in-conversation series that we do every last Thursday at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, New York. You're welcome to come join us. It's a free event. It's a lot of fun. There's WGXC swag to be gotten if you're there. And really, you're just going to meet some of the people who helped make this station happen. And you'll get to know a local musician or someone who's running a record label or running a venue through my one-on-one conversations. So that's every last Thursday at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, right around 7 o'clock p.m. And this month, our In Conversation is with Karen Schomer, who has just released an excellent new record called August on a local label, Dromedary Records. Highly collaborative, experimental, spoken word, poetry, set to improvised music. You'll hear us talk a lot about it in this conversation, as well as how she went from being a music journalist to a performer. It's really, she's very interesting, very prolific local artist. And at the end of the conversation, you will hear a track from this new record, which is called August 24th. So hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Karen will also be performing here tomorrow night.
Right, but we can't talk about that because it will have already aired by the time.
We're IRL right now, man. Let's talk about it.
Well, yeah, I describe it as overexposure Hudson Valley style when you have two nights in a row at the Avalon Lounge. I'm playing tomorrow. It's a first of its kind performance for me. I have an album that came out in October on Dromedary Records called August, and it's a collection of 31 poems, each for a day in a month of August. And I had different musician friends contribute tracks, and I put the tracks together with the poems to make the album. So most of the tracks are things that people recorded themselves at home. A lot of the tracks are actually improvised. So in order to perform it live, what we're doing is I'm taking four of the musicians who contributed to the album and putting them together in a band with a fifth member who's a drummer. And none of us have played together before. And because much of the music was improvised to start with, it's going to be improvised again tomorrow. So it's going to be a first of its kind thing, period. Like, we haven't practiced. We've never done it before. I don't know that we'll ever do it exactly this way again. And it's kind
of... Well, I'm curious about your process around this. So August, the record that just came out in October, not to be confusing, was based on a collection of poems and a book that you released prior to that, correct?
Yeah, well, it was conceptualized first as a group of poems, but long before those poems were actually written, I decided I wanted to make an album also. And I just asked people to send me music. I went to all the people I've collaborated with and said, hey, I've got this idea and I'm gonna do it, and would you send me music? And like, incredibly, like one friend of mine, Ollie Heffernan, who's from a British band called Ivan the Tolerable, like, Ollie sent me seven songs in under an hour. Like, I hadn't written a single poem yet, and I had music already. And everybody just came through eventually, and it was like a fairly ambitious thing to try to pull together. So the way, what I decided to do was just like, I'm, even though I had invited them to contribute, I decided to write all the poems and have them be finished poems. And that took like almost 2 years actually to write all the poems. And then when I had,
okay, I didn't realize that it was really done in tandem with the improvised music tracks that you were.
Well, no, I like I locked the music away.
Oh.
And I didn't listen to any of it. And I put them all in a folder and I finished all the poems and I got them completely done. And then I even like printed up the booklet. And then I went and listened to all the pieces of music that had come in and just started mixing and matching them.
So I want to come back to that, but when okay. you do this, when you do a live performance of this, how do you approach that improvised nature? Have you rehearsed this show?
No.
Okay. So it's truly improvised.
It's truly, yeah.
And do the words feel like they have to remain concrete to you?
Yeah. Okay. So the what we're doing is we've picked 5 of the poems, and that's actually one for each member of the band. So we're going to do 5 songs, and each member of the band is going to sort of lead a jam.
Okay.
And they know what the poem is, they know what the original music on the album was, but nobody's recreating that. They're free to sort of bring whatever they want. And then the other musicians will kind of join in, and the poem will sort of get dropped into it, like, you know, bread and croutons into soup. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting.
When you were, because you were a music journalist for a long time,
mm-hmm.
before you were making music with people or writing lyrics to songs,
yeah.
Did you at any point when you were writing, desire this type of
no.
thing? Or like,
no.
how do you get from there to what
I
you're doing right now?
I always felt like a writer. I uh-huh. always was just like, I am 100% writer. That's all I care about.
Like there's a divider between the writers and the musicians and never the two shall cross, which of course many have crossed that line.
Yeah, many have. It was just writing has always been my passion since I was like 12 years old. Mm-hmm. So I've just always devoted myself to writing, and I had started writing poetry, and I was actually really struggling with it. This goes back to sort of like the late aughts, the early 2010s. And Mike Watt mm-hmm. of the Minutemen and Firehose was like a longtime friend of mine and a sort of confidant. And I went to him one day and I was just like, I just can't do it. Like, I'm trying to go from being a journalist to a poet, and all these things that were strengths that I thought of as strengths in my writing when I was a journalist are totally like they're hindrances to writing good poetry. And
so you had to kind of unlearn
yeah,
a lot to get.
I had to learn and unlearn.
Yeah.
Yep. And this was probably like 2010, 2011. And I remember like Mike Watt said to me, I'm a Karen Schomer believer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, then I better like get my butt in gear because I can't, it made me feel like I needed to believe in myself more. And he came to me and he was like, hey, I'm doing this project. And it's this collaboration with, and it was actually Ollie Heffernan, who mm-hmm. at that time it was a project called Detective Instinct. And Ollie had asked Mike Watt to work on it. And Mike was like, instead of writing the words, how about you write the words? And mm-hmm. he just kind of brought me in. And so that was the first time I tried like writing poetry into a sort of music environment.
That's really interesting because I didn't know that backstory, and I've been familiar with the, you know, your bands and different projects, and I just, you know, it always occurred to me that you were a poet, you were a writer, and you were just finding different ways of collaborating with different types of music, different types of musicians, different approaches. So I was really surprised to hear, you know, earlier when you were saying that you were a music writer before that. You've probably been asked this too many times, but is Patti Smith a big influence on that journey? Going from music writer to punk rock?
No.
Yeah.
She's not at all, and I love and admire her.
I want to thank you for being honest about that.
Yeah. I interviewed her a few times, like in the 90s and early 2000s. She was an amazing person. But no, I mean, I think in terms of, you know, in terms of writing poetry, I was really not looking to musicians. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really studying poets,
yeah,
fiction writers. You know, I was trying to really immerse myself in literary work, and I ended up getting an MFA, mm-hmm, in creative writing. I think it's just a natural connection for people because she does write poetry, yeah, and of course it's like, you know, very, she's an incredible person to be compared to. I think in terms of my delivery and the way I speak, like, so the first recordings I made, Reckless Eric recorded me in his home studio. And people may remember, he's no longer a local, but
long time he local,
was
no
a
longer,
long time,
yeah,
local, and a huge, just big hearted, big talented person, yeah, to have around. But he said, like, we were recording in his home studio, it was these Detective Instinct tracks that I was trying to do the vocals for, and he said, don't do poetry voice. Mm-hmm. You know, just, you're just talking to me. Like, don't, like, no artifice, mm-hmm, no pretense, like, you're just talking. So that was, like, very early advice that I've tried to stick with.
So you were based in the Hudson Valley when you started bringing your writing into music settings, let's say. Was there anyone else in the area that was inspiring or that encouraged that, or did you feel like you were kind of one of one in the area at that time?
I mean, I don't feel that, like, speaking in a band setting was something I saw other people doing, and it was something that just happened because I'm not a singer, but that I know a lot of musicians from my time as a music writer. So I was invited into this place of, like, being part of music, and I've always loved music. So I think, you know, somebody like Eric, who was a real do-it-yourself person, mm-hmm, like Eric built his own home studio, and Eric would do his own sound when he played shows. And I think that and Mike Watt, of course, mm-hmm, is like the archetypal DIY person. Like, we jam a Kano, mm-hmm, we do everything ourselves. Like, Mike Watt was very much like, you know, learn how to record your own vocals at, mm-hmm, home, like, learn how to do band camp.
And be able to do it at your own pace and
yeah,
work through, you know, different ideas.
And, yeah,
which may not be conducive if you're in a studio space, someone else's studio space, where there isn't that much time and it just needs to get done. And so,
yeah, like, I didn't even have that as a reference.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so I think that was what was influential, was this idea of just, like, do it. Like, people around me were like, just do it yourself. You can just, yeah, do it. There's nothing holding you back. There's no reason for you not to do it.
Because that first iteration of that band, which was the Schomer Formation.
Yeah.
Yes, Shomer Formation, which you guys played at my old venue many years ago.
BSP.
And my
probably 2014.
Yeah.
Or 2015.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And I do remember that, you know, a year or two later when you came and played with Sky Furrows, it really stood out in a different way because the music was so much more aggressive.
Hmm.
It really separated itself from the sort of spoken word poetry camps, so to speak, which treat themselves like very separate from the musical camps. In my experience, it's like putting on events.
Huh.
The poets are not always wanting to be on the same bill as a punk rock band.
Uh-huh.
Not everybody, but that was just my experience. But what was it like getting from that first iteration, the Shomer Formation, to Sky Furrows, and how conscious of a decision was it to pair up with that more intense music?
Yeah, so I was in the Shomer Formation with Reckless Eric and Amy Rigby for like 2 years. And I had never performed before. And the first time we did it, they were doing these concerts at home called the Homemade Airplane. Yeah. They were doing them in their living room in Catskill, and they had me as a special guest, and we did like three or four songs. And I had never been on, stage, and I think I was like in my late 40s, like mid or late 40s. And I was like, I really like this. Like, I was just like, that was really fun. So we did that for a couple of years. And then they kind of broke it to me gently. They were just like, we do have our own music careers, and we don't have time to carry equipment for you anymore. And I think we had actually lined up I had lined up a show at BSP with Venture Lift.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, no, we're not doing it. And I was like, I've got a gig and no band. And I knew Eric Hardiman, who has a lot of different projects, including Century Plants, Rambutan. And Eric was running the Albany Sonic Arts Collective. And I just said, hey, I've got a gig at BSP and I don't have a band. Do you have any ideas? And he was like, yeah, I think I could get Mike Griffin and Phil Donnelly, and let's try. And we just did a practice, and it was great, and we had fun, and we did that gig. And
was that music initially, and is it still? Because Sky Froze is still a great band that's writing and recording
Thank
music
you.
And playing. And actually, let's plug that you guys are playing in Hudson at Half Moon on December 7th.
That's correct. Sunday, December 7th, with Erica Dawn Lyle, Dauber, and Censor Ghost from DC.
Noisy, punky lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
But was that music, do those songs come together in an musically improvisational way?
A little bit. So
or are they coming in with sort of semi-fully formed ideas and then?
No. So Mike and Eric and Phil from Sky Furrows were also members of Burnt Hills, which is a band that has been playing like Monday night jams in Albany for going back like almost 20 years. And that's a totally improv. That's like a 1 hour Monday night improv jam. So those guys are really into like playing improv, but sort of in a rock psychedelic kind of mode. So they would just sort of start jamming. And at that point, I was bringing in like finished pieces of writing. And we sort of would like put things together. And then as we've gone on, it's the songwriting has evolved more into like Mike or Eric comes up with a chord progression and a sort of framework for a song. And I often write something new into the music that they've given me. And our songs often have like choruses and so they're like sort of less poems.
Yeah.
On that spectrum between poetry and lyrics, they are maybe a little more toward lyrics at times.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Sky Froze is a great project, but I'm glad that you continue to do these other projects, these other collaborations, these other releases. You know, we were just talking. I mean, you're kind of prolific in that way. I mean, you put out about something every year or less almost. And this new one, August, which I should also mention, is released on a local label, Dromedary Records, out of Kingston, who have put out some great stuff. You know, how did it come together that this, you know, the idea of this record, which is every day of a month,
yeah,
with all these different collaborators, kind of pulling a lot of threads together, mm-hmm, musically. How did it come into that concrete decision that this is what it's going to be, and how you put it, those pieces together, like you said earlier, and knew that it was ready to come out?
You know, like once the poems were finished and I had this folder full of pieces of music, I really just began trying to shuffle them. So, you know, I tried to build something that flowed, but there's a lot of, like, really, to me, sort of harsh turns musically in a way, like the pieces that Mike Watt composed. There's three pieces that Mike Watt composed on the album. Those are like kind of fuzzed out bass melodies. Like he's just playing like a bass composition. And then the songs that Sarah Darby and Angie Grund contributed. Sarah was an important person in the Albany music scene who did sort of electronic music, and Sarah sadly committed suicide in 2024. So she contributed this music, mm, and unfortunately like isn't here to hear the final album, but her stuff is sort of electronic.
Yeah.
There's a variety of sounds, but I don't know why it makes sense together, but to me it does. And maybe it's just because more than sonically, there's a sort of ethic or approach or sort of outsider feeling to all the people who were contributing. I don't know. But it all just kind of fell into place, and I just had faith that it would.
Well, just quickly, like I saw that you'd mentioned Bernadette Mayer was an influence, and
yeah,
that's a bit, you know, that sort of deconstructing prose and putting it back together in new ways, and you know, that idea that 10 disparate things are disparate until you put them next to each other, and then now they are a new thing collectively.
That's a brilliant thing to say in the context of Bernadette, because I do remember, because I did workshops with Bernadette, and I remember her saying, like, sometimes the next line of a poem is what's on my desk. Like, she writes a line of poetry, and then she looks and she's got like a rock, mm-hmm, that she brought inside. And that's so she very much was about that. And I wouldn't even try to restate it, because you just said it very beautifully. So putting things next to each other creates new meaning.
Well, and when people listen to this record, they are receiving it as a piece, as a collection, as a, you know, point A to point Z collection. And so it creates its own synapses, which are unique to each person and how they interpret these connections. But it's a really great record, and I'm
Thank
glad
you.
That, you know, you could come on and talk about it, and that you're finding ways to perform it that are very interesting. And yeah, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much to WGXC and the Avalon Lounge, and to you, Mike, and yeah, to everyone who came out tonight.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
the year's soft bellies fall. Wheels of different colors spin.